let's do it.
Dude, we're just sitting here, man. It's, you are in charge. Oh, there we go. There we go.
Mm-hmm. It's happening. Hello, everyone. It's Molly. Welcome back to Make Me Smart. Happy question mark election eve. We're here. We are here to help make today make sense. We are going to do our best.
Yes. We
it's
should
the
say,
calm
by the
before
way,
the
at the
storm.
Outset, it is the calm before the storm. If you can call this calm, though, lady, I don't even know. Because
no,
what?
I'm not calm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Uh-uh. All right.
I might be artificially calm.
Yes. Calm on the, well, that's you. Calm on the outside and roiling, blurbling mass of I don't even know what on the inside.
Yeah.
So today will be a regular Monday. We'll do some news. We'll do a little Make Me Smile and then get out of here. Tomorrow, we are not doing a regular Tuesday long show because, hello? So we're going to, and because we do those usually at 10 o'clock in the morning in LA, and 10 o'clock in the morning LA time. And frankly, you know, tomorrow. So we're going to wait till 3:30. We're going to do our regular daily short thing and hopefully add a little context to what has been the trends of the day tomorrow. Mm-hmm. So I thought we should just get that out before we forget.
Yeah. No, I think that's very wise. And it's possible we just might be like in our feelings for a little while at 15 minutes. No, I mean, you know, we'll talk about what's transpired. But it was that or like the history of the Sharpie as a deep dive. And I just didn't, you know, I was like, no.
Yes. Totally true.
Yes.
Totally true.
Yep.
Okay. You go first.
What do we got?
I don't know. You go first.
I believe we may have related topics. So I will start
Shocking.
With my second item and then end with my first, which is never pass up a chance to talk more about Quibi, the new WeWork. So today there was, because nobody can get enough. Everybody loves to dissect a spectacular failure, especially when this, you know, was near $2 billion in money raised. And the Wall Street Journal has its sort of TikTok teardown of what happened, no pun intended on the TikTok thing,
Boom.
Of what happened. I regret it, but I also don't.
You don't know.
What happened with Quibi. And so two things have come up. One via Twitter, where someone tweeted and said, never forget, basically, that the reason that Quibi's shows were so short, or the fact that they were so short, let them hire non-union writers. Like, it was totally their way of getting around, you know, what in Hollywood is a very powerful union force around writers. And so they were able to say, like, oh, these are not really, you know, scripted, even if the sum total of the 10-minute episodes was a two-hour movie. And that was a really interesting thing that I hadn't known. I was like, that's a great story. And then the Wall Street Journal has this kind of great little bit about how in many cases, you know, clearly Quibi miscalculated. But one of the big recommendations that came early on is that some Quibi employees recommended that the service should allow social sharing, like YouTube and TikTok. And if you have a good show or a funny video, the way that that show or funny video gets a whole lot of views is if people can share it. But instead, because it was so totally Hollywood, this is so like Katzenberg at the wheel.
Oh, yeah.
They were like, oh, no, intellectual property protections in professional Hollywood content make sharing difficult.
Holy cow.
To quote the journal.
What a mistake.
Isn't that a great nugget?
That was. How 2006-ish, right? Holy
Seriously?
Cow.
Seriously?
Yeah.
They were like, oh, sheesh. I don't know. I think because of the DMCA, we're not going to be able to allow shit. Like, wow. Wow. That's back in, you know, you'll be violating copyright if you rip your DVDs.
Right.
Like, that is absurd. And then Quibi eventually created a feature that allowed users to share stills from its shows.
Oh, man. That is
so
interesting. It's like a mindset revelation thing. It's a, if you're not sharing, it's not happening thing. It's wow.
Yep.
They are not going to make that mistake again. Ain't nobody.
I know. It's way halfway down in the piece. And I was like, that all by itself was a death knell. Just that one thing. And I have a long history of going off about intellectual property and egregious copyright enforcement. And this is just like, yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Love it. Although, fascinating.
We might pause in this moment in this democracy and say, if things were tougher to share, we might not be in the jam we're in. But apples and oranges, I know. I just wanted to get that out there.
Touche, and an excellent point.
Saying.
Yes.
Yeah.
It cuts
all
both
right.
ways, the over the sharing. Yeah. It really does.
Yep.
One story that only cuts one way that came out on Saturday. Stanford University researchers released a paper Saturday, published research examining infection patterns in 18 counties in the United States before and after they hosted Trump rallies between June 20th and September 22nd. The researchers conclude, I'm reading now from the Chronicle, the San Francisco Chronicle, the rallies, quote, ultimately resulted in more than 30,000 incremental confirmed cases of COVID-19 and, quote, likely led to more than 700 deaths.
Yeah.
Five rallies are happening in four different cities in the United States today as this virus essentially is approaching exponential growth across the bulk of the United States.
Yep. It's amazing. Which gets us to mine, which is kind of noteworthy of maybe we're at a tipping point here. So Charlie Baker, the Republican governor of the state of Massachusetts, came out with an executive order today saying, if you are outside in the state of Massachusetts, you must wear a mask no matter how far you are away from anybody, 6 feet, 3 feet, 100 feet, I don't care, put a doggone mask on. And I just think it's really noteworthy that now that things are getting serious and the politics of this seem to have shifted with the winds, you've got a GOP governor in admittedly a bluish state, but still saying, wear a mask. Stop screwing around.
Yeah.
You know, it's just,
I will say that in the Dakotas, north and south, and in North Dakota in particular, they pointed out over the weekend that the COVID-19 is worse in the Dakotas now than it was, like, per capita, than it was during the spring in New York. And North Dakota Governor Doug Burgum, a Republican in charge of my mother's life and livelihood, said at a recent news conference that he supported cities taking their own approach to health policies, but said he would not issue a statewide mask mandate, saying everyone needs to, quote, find their why. For mask wearing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That was in the Wall Street Journal this weekend. So maybe the winds have not gone all the way.
Yeah.
to all blowing. The right places.
Yeah.
Find your why. It's to not die. You. We could turn it into like a fun little song if it would help.
let's get Ben and Daniel on that one. Gentlemen, we need a new song tomorrow. Just kidding.
Find your why. It's not to die. Come on, let's do this.
Find your why. It's not to die. Anyway,
we're laughing,
but we're laughing because it's not really funny.
I mean, to not only make it partisan, but it's a good time to stop talking and play the music. Yeah.
Hit the button. There we go. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I should go second, actually, because I'm going to give you the feels with mine, and I don't really mean to, but it's going to happen, so I should go second. I'll explain. Go ahead.
I know.
You go first.
All right. Okay. Kai likes the bittersweet or the heartwarming. He likes the heartwarming.
Yeah.
Okay, so many of their, like everyone, as you pointed out, is sharing stories about how to stay calm and entertain yourself and relax and not look at Twitter. And my son just showed me my new favorite thing that we're going to basically just be playing from now until I don't know what, until whatever end occurs, asteroid or otherwise. So I love this game called Human Fall Flat on PS4, which is basically you trying to control like a person who's just made out of like taffy. Like you have no bone structure and whatever you're trying to control them, they just fall down and they flop on things and it's like totally ridiculous. And now there's a new, I mean, it will make adults and children just like shriek with laughter because you just like you fall off edges and you kind of like you fall down all the time and you bounce. And now there's a new version of a similar type game called Totally Reliable Delivery Service, TRDS, which I immediately told my son was turds. And then he was like, that's not very mature.
What are you, like 10?
So you can tell who the 14-year-old boy is in the house, and it's not the 14-year-old boy. But basically, in this game, you'd like have to control your floppy body and pick up boxes and put them in things and then drive around. Oh. And like, I'm just saying, it is so comical and delightful and hilarious that it may be the thing that I do to just turn the brain off, because it's super fun. That's my recommendation for you. It's just super fun.
The whole turn the brain off thing is especially now, but holy cow. Holy cow.
Yeah. It's not easy.
Okay. So here's my first one, and it's a little bit self-referential, but I'm just going to roll with it. So I was putting on my shoes and going for my run this morning, and as I'm sitting there stretching a little bit, I would send out a tweet about Friendly's, the mostly East Coast restaurant chain, going out of business. And I said, oh, man, Fribbles, which are their milkshakes, and fried clams. And somebody wrote me back and said, best cheeseburger I ever had was in 1997 at a Friendly's. And just on a whim, I retweeted the guy and I said, best burger you ever had, go. And I laid out what mine was. I come back from my run an hour later and I am inundated. And I'm just, I can't tell you how amazed I am at people on my Twitter thread and how specific they are with these burgers. Sue Sundry's, located in very rural northwest Nebraska. Giant burgers that hung 1 inch over the bun. Had a buffalo sculpture made of buffalo nickels. Dad took me there on a delivery for his furniture store. Beaver Street Brewery in Flagstaff, Arizona. Their house basil sun-dried tomato burger. And it went on like this. I've gotten hundreds of these.
Oh,
hundreds.
I love that.
So it was kind of a cool moment. Because I'd go with a bag burger from the Bag and Kettle in Après Ski Bar and Grill at Sugarloaf Mountain in Maine. Port au Prince in New Orleans after a night and morning of pub crawling for a buddy's bachelor party. Anyway, so look, if you're into burgers, look at my mentions. Yeah, it was really cool. It was really fun.
You made a good Twitter bait.
I did. It was good Twitter bait. Better, I will say, actually, better than any beer Twitter bait I've ever had, which I don't know. I people care more about their burgers, I suppose. So there you go. Anyway, lots of good burgers.
They just like to boss you around about their beers.
Well, that's also true. Okay, so here's the second one. And look, I'm going to do a little mea culpa here, because you remember like a month, maybe 6 weeks ago, I did some make me smile that wasn't really a make me smile, but it was like uplifting in a spiritual kind of way. And
yeah.
I gave you the feels and I forget what it was. Anyway, while you were out last week, Kimberly did that to me about voting and how this woman had driven 20 hours to vote and how that was amazing and makes you smile. But oh my God, it should not be that way in a democracy. So I came across a thing today written by a guy who works at Esquire about Joe Biden and about this guy's son who had gotten leukemia and had brain surgery and how Biden had reached out. And I encourage you to read it, though not now with a microphone in front of your face, because I don't want you to cry. But this guy relates his experience with his child in the hospital and Joe Biden calling three separate times and eventually meeting this guy and his wife and asking how the son was. And the last line in this piece is, there were no cameras. There was no one filming. He wasn't running for anything. He was just doing what you do as a human, even when no one's watching. And when I read it a couple hours ago, it kind of gave me the feels, and I'm sure it will give lots of people the feels. And I offer that not as anything other than, yeah, that's the way it ought to be. That's the way it ought to be.
Yep.
Go vote. Drop it off. Don't mail it. Obviously, now it's too late. And we're back here tomorrow afternoon. Same bad time, same bad channel. Let us know what's on your mind, would you?
Literally.
Make me smart, marketplace.org. Questions, comments. There's lots going on.
Yeah,
literally this time.
Write in. Write in about what you're doing, how you're staying sane. If you're not, it's okay. You don't have to be. Your burgers. We love them.
Yeah, we would
send us a voice memo.
Burgers? Voice memo about...
Record yourself eating a burger. Don't do that.
Maybe how you're spending election day or how you're going to disengage or whatever. Just whatever's on your mind.
Yep.
We should play a bunch of those.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
I love that, actually. Yes. What are you going to make for dinner? Okay. All right. We'll stop now.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've decided to roast a chicken and some potatoes.
Really?
Yeah, and veggies. Like, I just want, like, a nice, warm, comforting, like, dinner. Make Me Smart is produced by Marissa Cabrera. Our digital producer is Tony Wagner. Erica Phillips writes our newsletter and the Make Me Smart skill on your smart device.
Ben Tolliday was in charge today down in the studio in downtown L.A. He also composed our theme music with Daniel Ramirez. They now have another writing assignment. No, I'm just kidding, you guys. Senior producer is Donna Tan, because Bridget's out taking care of her new human. The executive director of On Demand is Tarnia Vets. And there we go.
Find your why. It's so you don't die.
Die? You're going to find your why, cry, die, sky. This goes like 19 different ways.
Don't make me cry. Just find your why. So my mom doesn't die in North Dakota. Oh, geez.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.